The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good morning, everyone. And since technology hasn't been cooperating this morning, I'd like to be reassured that you can hear me. Great, thank you. So, the YouTube recorder wasn't working this morning, and I spent this last period trying to understand what might have been wrong and didn't. So that's why there was no guided meditation as planned. And hopefully you were in good hands with yourself and in community sitting this way. And so because of this, I also have a little change of plans around what to talk about this morning. And I think what I'd like to do is to continue on the theme of mindfulness factor of awakening. So to say a few more words about the mindfulness factor of awakening, or the awareness factor of awakening. And repeating a little bit what I said yesterday, that there is mindfulness practice and there is mindfulness. And it's similar to maybe like if you tell someone that you run, you're not really telling them much of what you're doing. You could be just running after your dog. You could be running from the police. You could be running for the joy of running. But if you tell someone you're training to run, that you're running to train, then immediately I think people understand that you're running in a variety of ways. You might sometimes, some days run distance, sometimes do sprints, sometimes do slow jog. There's all kinds of different things you would do if you were training to be a runner, to run. So in training to be in mindfulness, we're doing more than just being mindful. We're using different facilities, bringing them together to support the growth of awareness, the growth of lucid awareness or clear awareness. And in the teachings of the Buddha, in the discourse on the four foundations of mindfulness, kind of the, often considered to be the source for mindfulness teaching, he in fact provides a variety of different supports for this cultivation of sati. And one of them is a word, Pali word, which means to feel or to experience. And it's a somatic reference to somatically, physically feel or sense. And some people have the gift of really living in their body a lot and referencing their experience in some embodied way and in their senses and to be really centered in your body and in your physical senses and your inner senses of physicality provides a lot of wisdom, because a lot of what goes on in the mind will manifest in the body, especially the tensions of our body, our minds, the way the minds get stuck on things. And so as we become more physically sensitive, more centered in our body, feeling and sensing, we have access to noticing how we tense up and how we hold and how we resist in some ways and sometimes more acutely than we would if we were just noticing in the mind. It's sometimes clearer to feel it in the body. And in doing that, it kind of provides us with a guide for where the path of practice is. The path of practice is not found in being tense. It's not found in straining, in being contracted. It's found in the opposite direction. And so one way to be your own teacher is to have this sensitivity to where the stresses are and really feel them well. Take your time to know them well. And then if there's a choice, choose where it's not stressful. Choose where there's more ease. Choose where the body doesn't get tight and contracted and all hot and sweaty from tension. And it seems like it's a very simple guide. It's a very simple instruction to just track things in that kind of way. But in fact, it's really a profound thing to do that carries a person all the way to enlightenment. It just kind of shows you the path. And in fact, the deeper the meditation, the actually more useful this simple instruction is to notice where there's a little bit of dukkha, a little bit of stress, a little bit of contraction or solidification, hardening of something. And that is to release that is where the movement towards freedom is. So one of the ways to cultivate this awareness is through being embodied, aware of our embodied experience, kind of from the inside out. And as we do that as a beginner, for example, or beginning even for, you know, new meditation session for someone who's practiced a long time, we notice the mind wanders off a lot into thoughts and ideas and stories and images. And so coming back and having something physical to tap into, touch into, is a kind of a grounding. It's a kind of a clear anchor. There's a kind of clarity for some people in the body. Like the body is always in the present moment. And so if you know you're connected to your body, you're in the present, and it then supports more present moment awareness. And the more you repeatedly let go of your thoughts and your preoccupations, the weaker those tend to become. And as they get weaker, then the natural byproduct of that is there's more present moment awareness. So coming back to the body, feeling the body supports this present moment awareness, that it can linger, it can stay, it can be more continuous. So this is one of the trainings for developing awareness, is the somatic training of feeling our body, being connected. The second that the Buddha talks about is, and he emphasizes this one a lot in this discourse in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, is to recognize the experience as we're having it. Sometimes translators will use the expression clear comprehension is related to this. Clear comprehension, or sometimes they translate the related word as knowing, one knows. And so if one putting on one's clothes, one knows one is putting on one's clothes. If one's walking, one knows one's walking. When eating, one knows one is eating. And this can also seem kind of simplistic. And, you know, why should, of course I know I'm eating while I'm eating. Otherwise, I wouldn't get the food in my mouth. But there's something about the simplicity and the fullness of really staying close to that knowing that supports the cultivation of present moment awareness. It isn't to vaguely know you're eating so you can read the newspaper or look at the news or have a conversation or think about the plans for the day. It's kind of just simplify the mind so it's fully just knowing, just what it knows is it fully knows right now there's just eating. And there's nothing that obscures that or detracts from that or dilutes that. It becomes more and more clear and full, just eating. And at first, this might seem incredibly boring, but you have much more, you're a sophisticated person and you can do all kinds of wonderful things with your mind. And You can even multitask. You can have the radio on and read the news and eat and maybe have a profound conversation with your partner. But it doesn't really work that way. And even if you are such a multi-talented person, you're actually still shortchanging yourself from the capacity to develop a kind of a fullness and the clarity of awareness. And that's what we're searching for, is awareness which is full and clear and really here. And the cost of doing that might initially be, if you're the depending kind of person you are, a level of boredom or resistance, or like, you gotta be kidding me, it's just to eat and just be with eating. But as you get into it, it becomes a treasure. It feels like so special. It becomes a doorway. It's kind of like open the gates on the waters and the dam, and now something wonderful begins to flow out that you could never have guessed before. And it becomes so enriched life that way. So just to know, and knowing has a lot to do with recognition. So sometimes, as Inez talked about, using mental notes. Mental notes are an emphatic way of, or a clear way to recognize something. You don't have to use mental notes, but it's often recommended you do a little bit of it. And the art of it is to make the mental note just strong enough to help you stay present, but soft enough that it's not agitating in itself. It's kind of soft and actually kind of comforting to say the note. You say it in a nice inner voice. You kind of just, it's like a little encouragement. So if you are feeling an in-breath, you might say in, but you say in a nice way. Like you're saying some nice to a friend or a lover or something, in. And so you're really kind of, there's much more than just kind of the inner vocalization of this word that can be kind of mechanical if you kind of just treat it that way. But this kind of caring, a caring recognition, oh, this is an in-breath. This is a step. Touching a doorknob. There's an itch. There's a thought. Now there's delight. There's boredom. And there's something about the act of recognition when it's clear enough, and that's kind of the key, to be really clear or something, that the recognition is independent of what is being recognized. So if I say to myself, oh, there's an itch, I could still be lingering in the itch and the discomfort in the itch and the fear of the itch. But if I, it's kind of like you step back in the mind and just really from some place in the mind that's not the itch, you say itch. And to find that place where you can say itch or perceive or recognize itch, where the recognition is not the itch itself, is amazingly freeing. And not initially, it takes a while to pick this up, but the power of naming, of creating some distance or freedom from what we're entangled with can be very, very helpful. And the reason to do it, again, is not because it's supposed to be a world-class recognizer, but rather the recognition is helping us to continue to develop this present moment awareness. And so the present moment awareness becomes stronger and stronger, more continuous. And then the third kind of training in mindfulness the Buddha taught is to observe. And that's not considered in the ancient tradition an easy thing to do, because to observe as the connotations of observing as an uninvolved observer. We're not interfering with what we're observing. We're not judging it. We're not preferring it. We're not pushing it away. We're not for or against it. We're just observing it. And so it takes a lot of practice to come to that kind of equanimity and that kind of acceptance, that kind of openness, to just be able to settle back and just observe. But that's the direction these other two trainings are going towards. To experience and feel your experience well, to recognize the experience well, And then eventually you come to a place where you just observe it. Just observe it. Very, very simple. And everything comes into the purview of observing. And something, the mind, then the awareness has a chance to grow even more. In this we're not engaged in or manipulating or fixing or needing to change anything. It's just there. Awareness can just be there in its own pristine wonderfulness. Just aware of what's happening. And that puts the mind on the edge of being able to let go in a very deep way. The mind that can just observe without awareness, it just observes, just is there, without trying to do anything, trying to prevent something, trying to, you know, is entangled with it or caught up in anything. It's very, very stable, very equanimous. Something then has a chance to release in the heart in a very deep way. And so that's kind of the path that the Buddha's teachings on sati or mindfulness is going. Some of you maybe find that you works better this to the feeling part of mindfulness training, the somatic side of just kind of experiencing it and keeping it that simple. Some of you might find you work better to do the recognition, and that's your strong suit, just really seeing and recognizing what's there. Some of you'll do a combination of both. And some of you find that there's a natural degree in which this idea of observing kind of works really well for helping you be in the present moment. And some of you, that this way I described it today, just doesn't speak to you at all. And you have your own way. You just know how to be aware. You just know how to be present for things. And it doesn't quite fit the way I said. But please trust yourself in this process. But the direction we're going is towards finding a way to rest in the present moment, be grounded in the present in some continuous way, so that awareness accompanies us, is there as our companion or as our, you know, as we go through our life. So mindfulness. May you enjoy it. May you feel the wonder of it, the miracle of attention, of mindfulness. And may you, you know, walk and eat and sit and do the things you do today at the speed of mindfulness, staying close to that wondrous capacity we have. Thank you all very much.